Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recordings and in other devices, Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, May 25th, 2024. Over here is a beautiful Saturday. The skies are blue and clear. I hope you have clear weather in your neck of the woods. This is our lesson 409, chapter 8, entitled In Joseph 2, but this is our part 3. Hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a Tiny Talk theme song entitled Give Your Best to the Master.
Give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example, dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the master, give him first place in your life. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give and to you will be given. God his beloved Son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the master, naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask the precious little one to have this season of prayer for the section of their story. May you unmute your mind to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day. Be holy. 6 days shall I labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect everybody in the Sabbath and not in the Sabbath. And please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's story times, little one. So let us have our listening ears for our dear brother. We'll review part 4 of our chapter 18 entitled Before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin.
The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of Matthew. All right, Matthew 26:64. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He made a prediction that will be fulfilled in its time. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold now, you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. In this statement, the Savior presented the reverse of the scenes then taking place. He said, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man. In other words, I'm going to be in your place and you're going to be down here. I'm going to be your judge that day. He pointed forward to the time when he will occupy the position of supreme judge of heaven and earth. He will then be seated upon the Father's throne. And from his decision, there will be no appeal. He brought before his hearers a view of that day when instead of being surrounded and abused by a riotous mob, he will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then he will be escorted by legions of angels. Then he will pronounce sentence upon his enemies, among whom will be the same accusing throng. As Jesus spoke the words declaring himself to be the Son of God, the judge of the world, the high priest rent his robe as if to show his horror. He lifted his hands toward heaven and said, He didn't say next slide, I'm saying that. He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you've heard his blasphemy. What think ye? In other words, what do you think? The judge has answered, He is guilty of death. Don't see it here in the story. It was a custom back in those days for people to tear their clothes when they were in sorrow or when they were astonished at something. Maybe something bad had happened. But the priest was never to tear his garment. That represented Christ's righteousness. Sister White says when he rent his garment, he pronounced his own fate. He could no longer be priest. Oh, maybe it does here. It was contrary to the Jewish law to try a prisoner by night. Though the condemnation of Christ had been determined, there must be a formal trial by day. Oh, yeah, see, they got him at night and tried him, which was not supposed to be. They were never supposed to have trials at night. Jesus was then taken to the guard room and there suffered mockery and abuse from the soldiers and the rabble. At daybreak, he was again brought before his judges, and the final sentence of condemnation was pronounced. This was taken from The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, page 116 and 117.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. So next Sabbath, we will be reviewing part 4 of our lesson entitled Before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin in a tiny thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place on June the 1st, 2024. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. It's time for our tiny tots and parents to learn precious lessons in God's creation through nature in our topic, Mammals of the Bible. Let's have our listening ears, little one, and we will hand it to our dear brother.
can I be heard?
We can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, our Bible verses for our lesson 5 in our topic, Mammals of the Bible, is taken from lesson 2, Teach Us to Pray, in Luke chapter 18, the kingdom verse. Verses 9 to 12 says, and he spake this parable of certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, but one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithe of all that I possess. Today's lesson is lesson 5, A Mammal's Body System, part 1. And the memory verse for this personal lesson is Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy words, that my soul. And the character quality of the story is reverence versus disrespect. Reverence is respect and affection for God and spiritual things. Nature, a mammal's body system, part 1. What are the internal systems of a mammal? They are the 1, circulatory, 2, digestive, 3, nervous, and 4, respiratory system. These systems are important to life, and if one shuts down, the animal dies. If we do not pray, our spiritual life will die. If 1, the circulatory system. The circulatory system is made up of the heart and blood vessels. Mammals have a 4-chamber heart, which pumps blood to all parts of the body. The blood carries food and oxygen to the body and tissue. The blood of Christ brings strength to the Christian. The 2, digestive system. What's the digestive system in mammals? The digestive system takes nourishment from food to use in the body. It has a long tube that begins in the mouth, then goes down to the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestines. The digestive system determines the kind of food a mammal eats. Mammals that eat flesh have a simple stomach and short intestines. God needs flesh to be putrefied, say, if kept in the system very long. So that is the reason their intestines are shorter and thicker than the plant-eating mammals. Most mammals that eat plants have a more complicated stomach and long intestines. Cows and sheep have a 4-chambered stomach. Each chamber aids in helping to break down grass that is eaten by the animal. After a cow is chewed and swallowed enough food, it goes to a quiet spot and ruminates, or chews the partially digested cud. This reminds us of how we need to mediate or think over carefully and reverently what we have read in God's Word. In your mind, things you can do to help you remember the lesson, while you remember the lesson. 1, as you work here as a family, lay your chores in mind your lesson. 2, as you clean out your closet, be reminded that there is a good, quiet place to talk with God and pray. And here, reinforce activities you can do to help you remember the lesson. 1, look for mammals in your guidebook to identify them. 2, find pictures of mammals eating to put on your bulletin board. 3, for individual activities, stories, and poems, use the Brooklyn Child Children's Bible Activity Book for this. Children's Bible Activity Stories and Poems for this quarter. 4, say a memory verse. The Remarkable Parenting. God does not regard all sins as of equal magnitude. There are degrees of guilt in his estimation as well as in that of man. But however trifling this or that wrong act may seem in the eyes of men, no sin is small in the sight of God. Man's judgment is partial, imperfect, but God estimates all things as they really are. The drunkard is despised and is told that sin will exclude him from heaven, while pride, selfishness, and covetousness too often go unrebuked. But these are sins that are especially offensive to God. for they are contrary to the benevolence of his character, to that unselfish love which is the very atmosphere of the unfallen universe. He who falls into some of the grosser sins may feel a sense of his shame and poverty for his need of the grace of Christ. But God feels no need, and so closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessing he came to give. That's in Christ, page 30. Thousands. And here are these two pictures, are cows and cats. We share your nature life. Dear ones, but use our listening ears for one. In these two pictures of our dear sister Michelle and family sharing are two flowers. On the left is the day lily, and on the right is the oriental lily, you know, or Asiatic lily. That's about them, that if the lilies of the field are objects upon which the great master art has bestowed care, making them so beautiful that they outrival the glory of Solomon, the greatest king that ever wielded a scepter, if the grass of the field is made into a beautiful carpet for the earth, can we form any idea of the regard which God bestows upon man who was formed in his kingdom? The great master artist calls our attention to the soulless flowers of the field, pointing out the beautiful tints and the wonderful variety of shades one flower may possess. Thus God has revealed his skill and care. Thus he would show the great love he has for every human being. It's all comes to page 1086. In this picture on the left is a cicada on a man's hand, and says on the right to info about this insect. They've got bright red eyes which pop against the flora's palate. They're also extremely irritatingly noisy, making them easy to locate. Plus, they have no defense, no bite, no sting, no venom. Cicadas are, in fact, spectacular bugs. Although they have tiny insect brains, they can count and sense temperature. Males have built-in drums that make noises so loud they can damage human hearing. And just a few short weeks, they can transform entire youth force ecosystem. So yes, while they may be obnoxiously loud and make people extremely itchy, periodical cicadas are an ecological wonder, and one that we arguably take for granted. It's worth getting to know some of these bizarre bugs a bit better, starting with these 8 incredible facts. We do this on the next step. Brother Dick, would you like to share experience about this insect?
All right. This is a cicada. We have thousands and thousands of them. I mean, there may be more than that. There is a roar out there in the trees of these bugs. If any of you have ever caught one and you hold him in your hand, he'll make some noise with some membranes that I've never heard this noise before. It was different last time they came up somehow. But they don't make for a long period of time, but there are so many that it sounds like there's a roar all day long out there. As I walked out on the trail the other day, I kept looking up in the tree. I wonder if I can see some of these things that are making this noise. And all of a sudden I detected the noise was right on my level. So I got looking careful at the trees, and here was dozens of them climbing up a tree. And I reached over and grabbed one real quick. And I took my little camera out, my phone out, took a picture of it so I could share it. And I don't know that they do anything other than come out of the ground and mate so they can lay eggs for the next generation, which one of these varieties will not come back to the surface for 17 years, and the other won't come back for 13 years. They tell us that it's over 200 years since these two varieties have emerged from the ground at the same time. So if you don't see two varieties this time, this year, you won't live to see both of them come up together again. And I won't mind if they don't come up together because they are noisy. I mean, but anyway, as I walked out there and listened to them and I said, all nature sings and round me rings the music of God's nature. Go ahead, Josh.
So in here it says in Genesis 1:10, and God called the dry land earth, and God and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And up above on the right says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Isaiah 45:18. These next scriptures are from our dear sister, Lucia, and families. He's sharing. Sister Cece, with you and everyone else with you, like to share your experience through these photos.
Sure, dear Brother Josh. Salvat blessings, everyone. This picture on the left, the picture of the globe, of the earth, I should say, is a picture of it's a globe that we saw at the Liberty Science Center. I was able to chaperone for Emma's field trip, and we got a lesson on the weather and why does the weather exist. So I'm going to turn it over to Emma, so she can give her experience of what she saw on that particular day.
Well, I saw, this is Emma, seven blessings everybody. So what I saw on my field trip at the Science Liberty Center, there was this giant ball, and there was like a ball hanging around it. As you can see that we had a earth and we saw the eclipse, and the eclipse was really nice. We saw the nice beautiful sun, and we also saw the moon.
Did you see anything else? Do you remember what kind of different weather they spoke about on that day?
What we spoke about on that day about the weather, we spoke about the rain, tornadoes, and that was it. I love to share with all of you guys about that.
From the photos from the trip, so that we can be able to share more of your experience.
And as
go ahead, Sister Emma.
And as you see, right here in the middle, there is the sun right in the middle of the Liberty Science Center. And there is other stuff that we saw on the ball in the middle.
I just wanted to share here. As we were sharing our experience, Haley was not able to be on the trip. And as we were showing the pictures of the sun, Last week, there was something that was said that Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. And so Haley, as we're seeing the Son, thought that he was the actual Son and asked the question, if Jesus is the Son, why, and if we look at it, why would it hurt us? Why would it hurt us? So that gave us an opportunity to be able to explain that God created the Son, that he's called the Son of Righteousness, but he is not the physical Son that we see in the sky. So praise God that even though she wasn't there and we were sharing the pictures and there were questions that were being asked, that they can be able to learn more of God and the God of nature, and differentiating those things for them in their little minds. It's not for nothing. They were saying that I'm like a super chaperone for their schools, but being there with the children gives me the opportunity to see what they're seeing and to be able to share in this experience and relate it back to who give us the opportunities to be able to partake in these events, and that is God. And so it is a blessing to be able to have that flexibility to be able to embark upon these journeys with Haley and Emma and all the other little scholars that are attend their school as well.
And it says, this is above the pictures, in Genesis 1:16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which would be the sun, and he made the stars also the lesser light to rule the night, or in other words, the moon. It says,
and the other picture,
her morning star, the only one to worship is the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16, and that would be Jesus, the Son of God. Remember the solar eclipse. Satan is always between the soul and God, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of a glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine
unto them.
Four. And below, he is the bright and morning star, shining amid the moral darkness of this sinful, corrupt world. Medical Missionary, page 109.
And as we can see on this next third picture, we can see our moon right in the middle of the Liberty Center. And about the moon that the guy told us, he said one side is like much more lighter, but the other side was much more darker.
Good job.
And it says in the picture on the left, again, Genesis 1:16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And above on the right says Earth's moon, the lesser light. And under the diagram,
the moon reflects
the sun's light. The moon illustrates the law that tells us it is by beholding that we become changed. The Great Controversy, page 178. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking at God's law, we saw what sin is. Looking looking at Calvary, we understand how much Jesus denied himself, both to redeem us. Looking by our faith to our high priest in the sanctuary, we shall more and more come into harmony with his longing to perfect his people so that they reflect his image fully. Continuing. Okay.
Are these pictures that they
describe what they have seen through these pictures? Sister Haley, would you like to share your experience through all of these photos?
Hello. So, happy topic, everybody. For this trip, we got to go to the beach, and we got to see many different animals. So, for this one, for the one on top of right here, you can see that there was this little fish.
Huh? It was a shrimp.
It was a little shrimp that we were going in the water to catch. So, we have to catch it and see if, and we have to have two people at a time. So, one person has to go in the deep end and another one has to go by the sand. So, we had like this little net that was big for both of us to hold. So, I had a shipmate and his name is Hunter. So we had to go together and push the water that way so we can see if we can catch any fishes. But we didn't really catch fish. So what we had catched was the seaweed. So
On that attempt.
But we did have a second try. So the next shipmates came, and they actually catch the fish, and it was a little baby shrimp. And then for the second one, this orange thing, it was like a little sponge. So, and it was actually alive, so we couldn't really
touch it.
So it was just alive. So we had to put it back in some water. But so this one right here,
on the upper right,
this one right here is called a seahorse.
A horseshoe.
Mm-hmm. So the horseshoe is like a crab, but the shell on top of it is shaped like a horseshoe. So that's why we call it a horseshoe. And then this shell on the middle left, it's called a hermit crab. A hermit crab was like inside the shell, so we couldn't really see it. So what we did was touched inside of it and with one finger and petted it. So right here in the middle was like a snail. Right in the middle. Right there. So in the middle there was this little snail that we saw. So then this one beside, yes, that one beside on the right was called a crab. It was a large crab that was kind of like a horseshoe crab, but didn't have a big shell over it. So it had a little tiny finger, so we couldn't really touch it. We could just pick the bottom of it. This one right here on the bottom left,
this one, we didn't really get a name of it, that's hovering over the bucket. We have to do some research on it. It was kind of interesting, but they kind of come up on the shore. The marine scientist wasn't able to give me much information, but we would look into it.
Right here, on the middle and the bottom left was a part of Emma's trick. I will give the mic to little Emma.
That's an albino snake.
On the middle, at the bottom, we see a snake, and the person who was holding the snake went around so each person could get a feel of it.
This snake is an albino snake. So you see there wasn't much color. So we learned a little bit about that. The kids were actually a little bit afraid, but they were also brave. Some of them were able to pet it. And on the last one there, we had a scavenger hunt to see all the things that we could find on the seashore. We weren't able to take any of them home. We had to put them back. But it was interesting. All the kids were very engaged. They were able to go out and find them. So we had quite a few trips this last month, so it's been busy, but it was all worthwhile, and we learned so much from it.
The sequence on the bottom left that there's actually a sea cucumber. Yeah.
And this is the end
with our dear sister speaking family experience. And I'll turn the mic back to Mama.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family, for all the pictures and everything you have been sharing. But I also would like to speak about that slide in the 20. We highlighted the sun, but we want to, for the sake of order, we're going to just read out Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. Can you all hear me by God's grace? The scripture said, and God made two great lights, the great light to rule by day, which was the sun, and the lesser light to rule by night. And he also made the stars also. They wasn't really highlighted in our trip that our dear sister had shared with us, but we are going to try to include another time about the stars, because there's many lessons that we can learn by it. And thank you so much, dear brothers. And remember, little ones, give all your best to the Master. Give all the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation, full armor. Join in the battle for truth. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Because He Lives. You can be able to find it in number 526 if you have the book. If you would like to share the hymn with me, dear ones, and the rest of the Remnant family, you may unmute your mic to do so. God sent his son, they call him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive, he live and die, to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just give me a few seconds to be able to remove that little check so like that it won't interfere with the study. Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the dear family that are coming in. We are going to ask the elder siblings to open their section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God bless everybody. Thank you, God, wake us up for this morning. You protect us. You protect us. And everybody, help me to continue with everything to learn. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture to our study today is taken from Luke chapter 23, verse 46 from the King James Version, and it reads, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled In Joseph's Tomb, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to take one of the verses to our study, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Matthew 27, verse 50, King James Version. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice,
Yielded
up the ghost.
John chapter 19, verse 28, King James Version. And after this, Joseph or
Arimathea.
Arimathea.
Being
a
disciple
of Jesus, but
secretly
for the fear of the Jews,
besought
Pilate and Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. John chapter 19 verse 39, King James Version. And there came also
Nicodemus,
which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of
myrrh
and
aloes about
an hurried
100
pound
weight. Good job.
John chapter 19 verse 40, King James Version. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in
linen
and oils with
spices. Manner. Can you please get closer?
Manner of the Jews is to pray.
John chapter 19 verse 41, King James Version. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid.
John chapter 19 verse 24. Mm-hmm. Because of the
Jews preparation
day of the
sepulture
was
nigh
at hand.
Good job.
Amen. Good job, little ones. Today we will cover page 771 through 772. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. We are in the Desire of Ages, page 772. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones?
The Desire of Ages, page 772. And continuing, after the resurrection, the priests and rulers circulated the report that that Christ did not die upon the cross, that he merely fainted and was afterward revived. Another report affirmed that it was not a real body of flesh and bone, but the likeness of a body that was laid in the tomb. The action of the Roman soldiers disproves these falsehoods. They broke not his legs because he was already dead. To satisfy the priest, they pierced his side. Had not life been already extinct, this wound would have caused instant death. The Desire of Ages, page 772, paragraph 1.
Continuing the reading. But it was not the spear thrust, it was not the pain of the cross that caused the death of Jesus. That cry uttered with a loud voice, Matthew chapter 27 verse 50, Luke chapter 23 verse 46. At the moment of death, the stream of blood and water that flowed from his side declared that he died of a broken heart. His heart was broken by mental anguish. He was slain by the sin of the world. The Desire of Ages, page 772, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let us learn our first beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. This one is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3, from the King James Version margin, taken from Scripture Singer Song in the section Promises of the Memory Verse CD.
I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The birds on my side where the trees are, they are singing. If you all could just hear it, it's beautiful. There's so many different birds that are there. We are in the Desire of Ages, page 772. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones?
The Desire of Ages, page 772. With the death of Christ, the hopes of his disciples perished. They looked upon his closed eyelids and drooping head, his hair matted with blood, his pierced hands and feet, and their anguish was indescribable. Until the last, they had not believed that he would die. They could hardly believe that he was really dead. Next slide, please.
The Desire of Ages, page 772, continuing. Overwhelmed with sorrow, they did not recall his words foretelling this very scene. Nothing that he had said now gave them comfort. They saw only the cross and its bleeding victim. The future seemed dark with despair. Their faith in Jesus had perished, but never had they loved their Lord as now. Never before had they so felt his worth and their need of his presence. The Desire of Ages, page 172, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. So let's learn another beautiful scripture song together. But this one is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 16, King James Version. Taken in the section of God Love of the Memory Verse CD in the Scripture Song Singers.
Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, graven thee.
Amen. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
Even in death, Christ's body was very precious to his disciples. They longed to give him an honored burial, but knew not how to accomplish this. Treason against the Roman government was the crime for which Jesus was condemned. A person put to death for this offense and persons put to death for this offense were consigned to a burial ground especially provided for such criminals. Desire of Ages 772.
Continuing the reading. The disciple John with the woman from Galilee had remained at the cross. They could not leave the body of their Lord to be handled by the unfeeling soldiers and buried in a dishonored grave. Yet they could not prevent it. They could obtain no favors from the Jewish authorities, and they had no influence with Pilate. The Desire of Ages, page 772, paragraph 4. In this emergency, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to the help of the disciples. Both these men were members of the Sanhedrin and were acquainted with Pilate. Both were men of wealth and influence. They were determined that the body of Jesus should have an honorable burial. The Desire of Ages, page 773, paragraph 1.
Amen. So let us get learn another beautiful scripture song, and this one is taken from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. This is taken from the Holy Scriptures for a memory verse, and we will sing it in a cappella. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what, O Lord, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. We are in the Desire Ages, page 773. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones?
Joseph went boldly to Pilate and begged for him the body of Jesus. For the first time, Pilate learned that Jesus was really dead. Conflicting reports had reached him in regard to this event, to the events attending the crucifixion, but the knowledge of Christ's death had been purposely kept from him. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading. Pilate had been warned by the priests and rulers against deception by Christ's disciples in regard to his body. Upon hearing Joseph's request, he therefore sent for the centurion who had charge at the cross and learned for a certainty of the death of Jesus. He also drew from him an account of the scenes of Calvary, confirming the testimony of Joseph. The Desire of Ages, page 773, paragraph 2.
The request of Joseph was granted. While John was troubled about the burial of his master, Joseph returned with Pilate's order for the body of Christ. And Nicodemus came, bringing a costly mixture of myrrh and aloes of about 100 pounds weight for his embalming. The most honored in all Jerusalem could not have been shown more respect in death. The disciples were astonished to see these wealthy rulers as much interested as they themselves in the burial of their Lord. Desire of Ages, page 773, paragraph 2.
Amen. Let us end with a beautiful scripture song. This one is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 33, with margin, King James Version. But this song is taken from the Desire of All Nations in the Sunlight Sound Studio of Volume 1 of the memory verse CD. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to retain our questions that we can be able to go over in our review section next Sabbath. We have come to the ending of our study, dear ones. So next Sabbath, we will be reviewing part one of our lesson entitled In Joseph Tomb, part three. And if there's any other question besides the six that we have, if they need any kind of research, you could send it beforehand. So if any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or also our guests would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for this sunny, beautiful day on our side. I pray that everyone is experiencing some level of beauty just because it's the Sabbath where they are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the lessons that we learned here today. We thank you, Father, that you are able to provide in our situation and that you did provide a proper burial for your son, well-deserving and honorable. Thank you, Father Jesus. Thank you for the participation of the children and their parents. Father, as we move forward in this day, Lord, we pray for your continual blessing. Be with the speaker in the next level and help us, Father, that we, our minds might be stayed on you this day, I pray. Thank you again for this blessed Sabbath day in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to review our chapter 80 entitled In Joseph's Tomb, part 3, and that will take place on June 1st, 2024, of our lesson 409. Leaving the scripture and also a quote from Patriarchs and Prophets, the quote is taken from Jeremiah 31, verse 33, and it reads, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, say the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people." And from our quote, 372, paragraph 2, it says, "The same law that was engraved upon the tables of stone is written by the Holy Spirit upon the tables of the heart. Instead of going about to establish our own righteousness, we accept the righteousness of Christ. His blood atones for our sins. His obedience is accepted for us. Then the heart renewed by the Holy Spirit will bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. Through the grace of Christ, we shall live in obedience to the law of God written upon our hearts." Amen. And for correction, for those that are not able to see this, the screen, the lesson today of our part three is from 772 through 773. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God's bless. I hope the birds in your section of the wood will be as happy today on this Sabbath as hours over here by God's grace.